It has been a crazy last few weeks since the Winnipeg Blue Bombers won the 107th Grey Cup. The CFL coaching carousel has been cranked up to about 15. It is as crazy a coaching run as we've seen. And I think as we sit here on December 13th, the coaching carousel has finally stopped spinning. Welcome back to the Steinberg Show. Let's welcome in our CFL insider, Jeff Creever from CFL.ca. Hello, Mr. Creever. Long time no talk. How are you?
Hey, Pat, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. And now that the Grey Cup festivities have come to an end and everybody is recovered, everybody's hiring and firing coaches. It has been a crazy, I want to say, last 2 weeks or so when it comes to coaching movement in this league. Let's start with the latest news in your neck of the woods. The Toronto Argonauts make a decision yesterday. They go from Corey Chamberlain to former Stampeders quarterbacks coach Ryan Dinwiddie as the new head coach in Toronto. I don't know how many people saw that coming yesterday. First of all, on the Corey Chamberlain front, done in Toronto as head coach. Was that a surprise to you?
It was and it wasn't. I mean, you never want to have a third coach in as many years. You're going from Mark Trestman to Corey Chamberlain now to Ryan Dinwiddie. That's usually not the kind of culture you want to create for your football team, where there's someone new coming in every single season and it's like, all right, let's try this, let's try that. And I thought Chamberlain was a promising coach. I really did. I liked the job that he did with the Riders winning a Grey Cup in 2013. I thought he was a really big part of the Argos championship in 2017 as their defensive coordinator, but asked to do both roles. The Argos obviously underperformed last season, and I call it the struggles at quarterback. There are a lot of excuses, but the defense didn't perform the way it needed to, even though they brought in some name players on that side of the ball. And at the end of the day, there's a pressure in Toronto to win football games and to be an entertaining football team right now. It's no secret. They need an entertaining product. They need their fan base to be engaged. And I think a lot of people saw what happened in Montreal this past season, the way they were able to captivate their fan base with a really exciting young team, a coach that was a former quarterback, and with Pinball Clemens being there, they felt that change was needed. So at the end of the day, no, it's not that surprising. And I think Ryan Dinwiddie definitely fits the mold. It's a big change for them. It's a change in direction, and it's probably one that was needed in Toronto.
Well, let's go a little bit more in depth into Dinwiddie, who, you know, has had a very interesting CFL career. I mean, remember, he was the shock starter for the Bombers in the Grey Cup in that loss to the Riders after Kevin Glenn went down, and then he started his career as a coach a few years later. And, you know, this past year in Calgary, he was the quarterback's coach and kind of de facto offensive coordinator, and now right jump to head coach in Toronto. Why is Dinwiddie the right guy for the Argos?
I don't know if teams are looking around the league and seeing some of the young coaches that were former quarterbacks coming in and having a lot of success. You talk about Kahari Jones and what he's done in Montreal. The Eskimos just hired Milanovic, who's also won a Grey Cup already as a coach. It seems that quarterbacks that have experience in the CFL make good coaches. And you know, for Dinwiddie, there could be something bigger at play there. You know, maybe there's a hope of getting Nick Arbuckle. I think those two are definitely, there's a good chance they're a package deal. A lot of speculation already being made about that. And I think with the connections that Dinwiddie has to John Murphy, the Calgary connection there, John Murphy being a John Huffnagel guy, I think the Argos are looking at the Calgary Stampeders as a model organization and saying, all right, how can we find this winning recipe? How can we capture what the Stamps have done over the last two decades as an organization and bring an element of that to our roster? And hey, Ryan Dinwiddie definitely had an inside track on all of that. He was a part of that success, whether it was Nick Arbuckle, whether it's Bo Levi Mitchell, who Dinwiddie deserves some credit in his development. And you also have to wonder who could be following Dinwiddie to Toronto, which other Calgary Stampeders players or former coaches could be connected to Dinwiddie in the future.
But you do think the natural connection that a lot of people are making is Nick Arbuckle. That's one that you're almost expecting to happen here.
I am, personally. I mean, I thought going into all this, I thought Ottawa might be a logical landing place, right? Because that's another team that was in the same situation as the Argos. Needed a head coach, needed a quarterback. And if you need both of those things and you have a chance to land that tandem, those two guys, I mean, you're checking two things off at once there. So to me, that makes a ton of sense. And if you're Nick Arbuckle, it makes a ton of sense because you've had success with Ryan Dinwiddie. You've had success in that system. People go, well, maybe Dinwiddie was good in Calgary maybe Arbuckle was good in Calgary because of the system. Well, what better course of action than to follow Dinwiddie to Toronto, right? To work with a coach that you've had success with. So I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion, but to me, it's definitely the most logical conclusion. And of all the free agent quarterbacks, I do think that Nick Arbuckle would be a pretty good prize for the Argos to get. And I think it would generate quite a bit of excitement going into 2020.
So that is the kind of latest coaching news from a change standpoint. Ryan Dinwiddie, former Stampeders quarterbacks coach, in as the new head coach of the Toronto Argonauts. He replaces Corey Chamblin. There was one other piece of news that came down today. We were kind of waiting on this one, and I was kind of the belief that, yeah, it was going to happen, and I'm expecting it to happen, but until it does, it's going to be a bit of a question mark, but no more question marks. Mike O'Shea has been extended as head coach of the Grey Cup champion Bombers. I guess that was almost a foregone conclusion.
The timing was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, the day after the final head coaching vacancies are filled. I don't know. I don't know if Mike O'Shea was really giving any consideration to going somewhere else. And I don't know if he would have looked at that Toronto situation and said, hey, it's closer to home. I used to play with pinball. I know pinball. You know, maybe it would have been a comfortable situation for him. He's won a Grey Cup now. It could have been the whole Chris Jones repeat when Jones left Edmonton after winning. You know, the day after the Argos hire a coach, Mike O'Shea decides to stay in Winnipeg. But I don't know how much that played into it. It makes a ton of sense, obviously, for him to stay in the Peg. Kyle Walter's also getting an extension, and those guys have done just an incredible job with the Bombers. Continuity is your friend in this league. The Stamps have had it with John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson, and we're seeing that in Winnipeg as well. And what Walters and O'Shea have done, the turnaround we've seen in that franchise, going from missing the playoffs every year to making the playoffs 4 years in a row, winning the Grey Cup in a really competitive West Division. That's the best thing the Bombers could have asked for. And now, that question mark no longer hangs over anybody's head this offseason.
Jeff Creever's with us, our CFL insider from CFL.ca. All kinds of coaching movement in the Canadian Football League since the Bombers won the 107th Grey Cup. And we also found out this week the Edmonton Eskimos have filled their vacancy. They're bringing Scott Milanovic back from the NFL. Your thoughts as Milanovic joins the Eskimos as their head coach?
Well, this one sort of came out of nowhere. I was shocked by this because I thought, well, Scott Milanovic has a pretty good job in the NFL. He's a quarterback's coach. I know he was passed over as offensive coordinator there in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. When Doug Marrone was promoted, they could have gone that way. I don't know if Scott Milanovic had that in his future, but hey, he loves the CFL. He's played in the CFL. He's had success as a coach in the CFL. He was groomed here for a long time, and he's one of the bigger names out there. Honestly, he really is. And I wondered when the Eskimos dismissed Jason Moss, I thought, you know what? That's going to be really tough to replace. Not Jason Moss, the head coach so much, but Jason Moss, the play caller, the offensive coordinator, the guy calling up the plays, making the schemes, all of those things. Because the Eskimos were a prolific offense last year. And Trevor Harris was great. They did everything right. And replacing a guy like Jason Moss, hey, we've seen what teams around the league without good offensive coordinators, we've seen the struggles they've endured. So when they couldn't get Jamie Elizondo, I wondered, where are the Eskimos going to go here? What's the move? And to me, getting Scott Milanovic was the best case scenario. It was an instant remedy because, A, he's had success offensively. That was one of the best offenses we've seen when Milanovic and Ricky Ray won a Grey Cup with the Argos. And B, he's worked with Trevor Harris. Those two know each other. They're on the same page. Trevor Harris is pumped. Milanovic, he played a big role in his development, along with the development of Zach Kolaros. Remember, we talked about Scott Milanovic as a quarterback guru. I mean, to me, and it, again, it goes with the theme of having quarterbacks and offensive-minded coaches as head coaches. But to me, this spells really quick success for the Eskimos and for them to make that transition from Moss to Milanovic.
What about Jason Moss? He does land on his feet, obviously stung by getting fired as head coach in Edmonton, but lands almost immediately as offensive coordinator on Craig Dickinson's staff in Saskatchewan. I'm really interested to see Jason Moss work with Cody Fajardo at quarterback. That to me, I think, is a really intriguing combination because Moss has had nothing but success working with quarterbacks in this league. Your thoughts on Jason Moss as he takes over as OC in Saskatchewan?
Mm-hmm. Interesting to me. And I thought when Moss was dismissed, and I was in the camp that the Eskimos should have kept him. I like Milanovic there right now, but I was in the camp the Eskimos should have kept Jason Moss. He's just one of those guys, one of those rare, brilliant offensive minds in the CFL that sets himself apart from everyone else. I do think he'll be a head coach again one day. I think he should get that opportunity. He's still young, and the arrow's still pointing up. But in Sask, all that being said, I think it's a great fit. I mean, Cody Fajardo, he fits the mold of a Jason Moss quarterback. And Moss likes to be vertical. He likes to take shots. He likes that downfield passing attack. And Cody Fajardo has proven that he can attack down the field. And we used to look at Fajardo and wonder, can he be a successful quarterback throwing the ball in the intermediate? Throwing the deep ball, not just being a scrambler. And I think last year he erased any doubt. He was terrific throwing the ball to his guys, Kyren Moore and Shaq Evans. And I think with Jason Moss being there, as long as the Riders can keep some good receivers, we know they've got some free agents, including Evans. As long as they have some good receivers there, I think that's going to be one of the more exciting offenses in the league. And I think Cody Fajardo can take another step. I think there's more to see from him. I think there are strides to be made, and I think if anyone's going to get that out of him, it's going to be Jason Moss. So I'm really excited to see what that offense can do and what the next steps are for Cody Fajardo.
And a final thought for you, and that's on the guy that kind of started this carousel spinning. Rick Campbell left the Ottawa Redblacks at the end of a really difficult season. They part ways, and off he goes to BC a few weeks later. He's now the head coach, the new head coach of the BC Lions. How do you like the fit of Rick Campbell in BC?
I think it's what the Lions needed, a veteran head coach who can come in and put out any fires. We know that that's a talented team, but that was a really young coaching staff last year. And I thought that Devon Claybrooks had a bright future as a head coach. And I think a lot of those guys that were on that staff, I don't necessarily think they aren't going to make it as coaches. But you put all of those young coaches in on one staff at the same time, and that's tough. Like that's you're missing a lot of experience there outside of Rich Stubler and Jarius Jackson. So I think it's a good change for them. I think Campbell is a proven winner. I think he's really well respected. He's going to do a lot for that defense. And now I'm really curious to see who's going to run that offense. I mean, it's going to be interesting to me. But I think it's the change that they needed. I think Campbell did a great job in Ottawa. And it was kind of disappointing with the way things ended for him there. They got a good one in Lapo, though.
Good stuff, my friend. I guess I didn't even ask you about Paul Lapolis in Ottawa. Like there's been so many coaching changes. I thought that was my – okay.
Yeah.
What about Paul Lapolis in Ottawa? That's a very – I feel really good for Lapolis because that guy got his shot as a head coach. It didn't work very well. He goes – does some broadcasting for 3 years on TSN, gets a shot as OC with O'Shea in Winnipeg, and now gets another coaching opportunity as a head coach. I'm really happy for Paul Lapolis, actually.
Me too. He went to a Grey Cup, and then 8 games later, he was out of a job. That's crazy. I mean, that was a long time ago, but I remember thinking at the time, man, I feel bad for Paul Lapolis. Like, the Bombers were 2-6 at the time he was let go, but yeah, he deserves it. His resume is outstanding, and the job he just did with the Bombers and that offense, the revolving door they had at quarterback, the injury to Matt Nichols, the fact that he was able to make that work and take Andrew Harris and the weapons they have there and make them into such a formidable force in the postseason. I thought that was really cool. And what Zach Collaros was able to accomplish there. Full credit to him. And I think if anybody's going to turn it around in Ottawa, and we'll see what they do in free agency, and Apo has his ties to those three free agent quarterbacks from Winnipeg, I think it's going to be a fun year for Ottawa Red Black fans.
Good stuff, my man. What's kicking on CFL.ca during the off season? What are you? What's coming up in the next number of weeks here?
We got a lot coming up. We're previewing each team's off season right now. So we just went to the BC Lions. We got the Argos on deck, and then we'll hit all of the playoff teams. And we'll have a lot of year-end content as well. We're talking about, you know, year-end awards, who is the newsmaker of the year, which I think will be an interesting one. It was Johnny Manziel last year, by the way. So never played another game in the CFL, but we'll see who it is this year. You guys will all weigh in on that one, our esteemed writers. And, yeah, check it out. We've got a lot of good, fun content looking back on sort of the year that was in the CFL.
Good stuff, Craver. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.